The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, not quite, folks. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for my good friend, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Great to be with you today. Happy to be substituting for him. It's an honor, in fact. And as always, glad to be with you, our audience, our wonderful audience at American Family Radio. Thank you all so much for your prayers, your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. We had a great share-a-thon, and God bless you all. You know, we're going to continue to fight for this country's Judeo-Christian values and principles to keep America the wonderful, the glorious nation that God has given us, no matter what the left has tried to do to take that away. They are not going to succeed, folks. We are going to win. And that's why I continue to fight. There's no surrender in me. You know, we just had a debacle in Virginia, but we're going to keep Virginia. We're going to keep Virginia. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to honor George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry and all those wonderful founding fathers that came from Virginia. I am not going to turn the state of Virginia over to the Marxists. So folks, just stand by. You'll be hearing more about that. But we're not nearly done yet. Let me just tell you, we don't quit until we win. And we're going to win. We're going to take Virginia back. We're going to keep Virginia in the red column. They did it in Florida. They did it in Arkansas. We're going to do it in Virginia. So you all pray for us and just keep stand by and keep supporting us in the things that we are trying to do. Look, I am out in Colorado right now. I just got finished teaching 2 days at the Practical Government School at Karis Bible College. And before the program is over today, I hope to get to this because the questions, of course, I laid out how our spiritual condition influence and impacts our cultural condition, how our cultural condition and impacts politics. In fact, I said, Andrew Breitbart famously said, politics is downstream from culture. I said, E.W. Jackson, not so famously, has said, but culture is downstream from the spiritual condition of a nation. So as the spiritual condition of a nation goes, so goes its culture. And as its culture goes, so goes its politics. And so we've got to restore those spiritual foundations. Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer to me is very simple. The righteous must restore those foundations. And that's what we are absolutely committed to doing. So we got a few things to talk to you about today. And the first thing I want to get to, though, is the good news. The good news, President Trump has come up with this $1,000 account for new babies born, I think, in 25, 26, and 27. These $1,000 accounts in the stock market, they're going to allow these babies to have equity in the stock market from the moment of birth, and parents can add to it. Some are saying this may be as revolutionary as the 401k, which has really blessed a lot of people and given a lot of people the ability to accumulate wealth and to retire comfortably. So this is a major breakthrough. I think, once again, this president is going to go down, I think, as one of the greatest in our history because he is so innovative and he is so committed to doing things that will serve the American people. Look, folks, I know he's not perfect and he's got his critics. And there are things sometimes he says that I and probably you too say, oh, brother, I wish he would not do that. But in terms of the policies, first, in terms of the commitment that he has to do what is necessary to serve the interests of the American people, I don't think there could be any doubt. I mean, leftists will never give him any credit for it. But I am absolutely convinced, folks, that this president loves our country, loves our people, And you may not agree with him on this, that, or the other policy, but I think he is always trying to do what he believes is best for this nation. And again, that's understanding. He's not Jesus Christ, okay? He's Donald Trump. But I am just grateful to God that we have a president who thinks the way he thinks and is always interested in doing what he can for the American people. Now, on top of that, the Dell family has now pledged $6.2 billion to add to the Trump baby accounts, apparently to try to, and he's expecting other billionaires in the country and very, very wealthy people in the country to contribute to this fund that is going to go ultimately to benefit the American people. See, that's why we support capitalism, because capitalism is not about holding people down and holding people back and being jealous of people because they have a lot. Capitalism is about being as inventive, as innovative, as productive as you can be. And then in a capitalist society like ours, where we are rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian values and principles, it is then about giving back, using that wealth to serve others, so that instead of just accumulating for the sake of accumulating, I think there does come a point where you have so much, you can never spend it all. And the motive of Americans, this is really part of our culture and part of our ethic, which Marxism and socialism tries to deny. But we are givers in this country. We really are. We are givers. And that's not to say that I agree with everything. I mean, George Soros is a giver, but he gives to all the wrong stuff. But this is, again, it demonstrates that people who are willing to be objective about this see that President Trump is trying to do things that benefit the American people. I don't know where the Dells stand politically, and they have not said, but I don't really care, frankly. If they're willing to help President Trump do things that will benefit the American people, God bless them. You know, keep it up. Keep doing it. I mean, I think these people really ought to stay out of politics anyway, unless they're planning to run, because they ought to want Democrats and Republicans buying their products. And when they start taking these very extremist positions on issues, and they start siding with the left, nobody wants to, at least I don't want to buy their products. I don't want to be bothered with them. I don't want to, because I feel like to do so is to support their leftist agenda, and I don't want to do that. And I mean, that's why I gave up on watching the NFL, because Roger Goodell, in my view, has a leftist agenda. I mean, I think that was witnessed by his choosing this guy, Bad Bunny, to halftime show. And then with the nerve to say, and this is going to be a very unified moment for the country. I mean, what is this guy living in, La La Land? But at any rate, so I don't support those things that, you know, I believe are detrimental to our country. If I know about it, if I can help it, I'm going in another direction. I'm looking for somebody to support somebody who I think is trying to help our country. So I am whatever big tech billionaires or anybody else who steps up and wants to really do something to benefit the country, they will certainly have my applause for it, because fine, get it done. That's a whole lot better than people like Bill Gates running around talking about we got to reduce the population by 3 billion people, or we're going to destroy the planet and all this nonsense that he's been doing, and other nefarious things, in my view, that he's been involved with regard to pharmaceuticals and experimenting on people and a whole bunch of really, really ugly, monstrous stuff. Here's somebody stepping up to do something good. And that to me is why our system allows people to accumulate wealth so that they can do good things with it. I mean, I really think that's at the root of capitalism. I think capitalism is ultimately Judeo-Christian because it allows a person to be rewarded for whatever they create, invent, innovate. They get the rewards, the benefits, and then they can do with it what they will. I mean, we don't have any rules requiring that people give. But it really is part of our culture, at least the Judeo-Christian culture that you and I are fighting to preserve. Giving is part of our culture. The Marxist viewpoint is something entirely different, which is we ought to take wealth from people because they shouldn't have it in the first place. It's too much, and we ought to then decide what we're going to do with it. We meaning the government, ultimately the particular party that gets control of it, and it always leads to poverty and starvation and shortage and disaster. And it's too bad that some of our young people don't fully understand the history of Marxism and communism and socialism and these collectivist ideologies, and what they produce, because they produce nothing but misery. And capitalism has produced in our country the highest standard of living of any nation in the history of the world for ordinary people. And you're not born to, we don't have royalty here, so you not born to royalty, not born to wealth. Just ordinary people born into ordinary circumstances can become fabulously successful in our country because freedom allows them to pursue their dreams, and our capitalist system, our free market system, allows them to reap the benefits and the rewards of what they do. So, and I think trying to get as many Americans as possible to start benefiting from this wonderful system that we have it just helps solidify our commitment to the free market way of life rather than the socialist way of life. So I am elated by this. By the way, to add to it, the president, with this long cabinet meeting that he had yesterday, they are saying that they really think that 2026 is going to be an economic renaissance, because we have not yet begun to see the effects of all the money coming in through the tariffs that the president has imposed. But, you know, the economic disaster that we were being told was going to happen has not happened. But the president says money is rolling in. They're going to turn that money around and reward the American people for it. And again, I know that the president is Trump to a little bit of exaggeration. The president is prone, I meant to say, to a little bit of exaggeration. But he says, you know, this could lead to a point where, you know, we don't have to pay taxes to the IRS. Well, I wish we would start considering some other means of collecting our taxes. I'm in favor of either the flat or the consumption tax. I favor the consumption tax a little bit more, because then you don't have any bureaucracy chasing you for money. But boy, wouldn't that be wonderful if the American people didn't have to go spend the billions of dollars that we spend every year filing tax returns. It is a drag on our economy and a drag on our funds. It's just a miserable situation to be in. And if there were another way, if this could produce another way for us to collect those taxes, I know that's probably a little bit pie in the sky, but folks, I'll tell you, that would be an economic revolution for this country if the American people no longer had to answer to the IRS and there was a way of collecting our taxes that didn't involve all these shenanigans that we go through. Because it's a lot. I can't tell you how much work I have to put in when it's tax time for me, because I have a lot of income that comes in with, you know, that not from an employer, but from speaking engagements and this, that, and the other. I got to gather all that stuff together. It's not good. It's not good. You know, I mean, thank God that I have enough money that I can pay those taxes when the taxes become due. Cause that's tax money that didn't come out of any paycheck that I get. So I've got to pay taxes on that income. And I'll tell you, I think everybody ought to have the experience sometime of not letting Uncle Sam take money out of your check, paycheck to paycheck, and then at the end of the year, see what your tax bill is. Well, you talk about a wake-up call. You know, that'll put some starch in you that you'll realize, oh my, what? You got to write a big check to the IRS. So, at any rate, I think this is all good news, folks, and I am thanking God for it, and I think that the other good news, by the way, is Tennessee, great outcome of the election. Although the left tried to paint this, I mean, they're even trying. She lost by 45 to nearly 54 points, I think, 45 something to 54 something, somewhere in there. I mean, that's a decisive loss, but they're trying to make it like, oh, she almost took it. It was a nail biter. It was close. One thing I did hear that is a little disturbing, but I don't know that it's true, but I did hear one commentator say, that there was 115% turnout from the presidential election on the Democrat side and 90% turnout on the Republican side, high on both, but better on the Democrat side. We got to correct that. I'm Bishop E.W. Jackson, in for Pastor Jeff Shreve, and looking forward to having a great conversation with you. Stand by. I'll be back in a moment.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
By the way, folks, speaking of podcasts, I do have a podcast on American Family Radio. I'm still part of the regular American Family Radio family, and I am on every Wednesday. You can check it out. I post it every Wednesday morning with the Awakening Podcast. So I'm still with you every single week. No longer on daily, but I'm happy to have these opportunities to substitute for the great hosts that we have whenever I can. Okay, look, I've got to get to this. So let me just say, though, about this Tennessee election. We ought to be concerned, continue to be concerned about the way these votes are being taken and counted. We ought to be concerned about early voting. We ought to be concerned about ballot harvesting and about mail-in ballots and all the ways that Democrats have concocted to cheat, because that's exactly what that's all about. Our elections in Virginia started, I think they opened in September, about a month and a half before the election. There were people who voted, a significant number of people who voted long before the Jay Jones scandal emerged, where we found out that he had actually fantasized about killing Todd Gilbert, who was then Speaker of the House, and fantasized about his children dying in their mother's arms. People had voted by the time we heard that. I think all this early voting stuff is completely out of hand, and I think we've got to rein all this stuff in. So we've got to keep our eye on the electoral process, because sometimes you do wonder. I mean, 45% of Tennesseans in the 7th District actually voted for socialist. I have a hard time believing that, but, you know, that's what the polls say. This woman is an open socialist, and she has said things that have made quite clear how far left she is. Bain, I think, is her name. But one wonders, did people really understand what they were voting for? Are there that many Tennesseans that agree with socialism? Or are shenanigans happening in the electoral process? People have asked that about our election here in Virginia, where our gubernatorial candidate lost by 14 points. And even our attorney general candidate lost to this monstrous character, Jay Jones, lost by 6 points. We were expecting Jason Miaris to win, and he lost by 6 points. So I think we've got to be vigilant about the electoral process. But I think we've also got to be concerned about being out-organized, because if, in fact, it is true that Dems turned out 115% of the people who showed up for the Trump election last year. If that is true, and remember, Democrats don't operate by persuasion. They operate by force and pressure. They have a machine approach to politics. They don't try to persuade you to go out. They, in effect, they strong arm people. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that. I've witnessed it. They strong arm people. They go around and collect people up, and people in nursing homes, people in elderly housing, people in projects. They go around and collect them up and put them on buses. And in some cases, money is flowing. What they call walk-around money. And I'm sure you all have heard that. Money to pastors, money to workers, money to, you know, various people. They grease the wheels of politics where they have a machine operation. They grease the wheels of politics
with money. And I'm not talking about money spent on advertising or money spent on staffing. I'm talking about money spent to persuade people that it is in their interest to vote for the Democrats because they're the ones who are going to keep rewarding them, if you will, with either with welfare or some kind of government benefit, or just with a little backhand behind the scene political greasing of the wheels. So we conservatives better be very, very vigilant about what's going on in our electoral process. And I've got to get to this, and then I'm going to take your call starting in the next segment. Number is 888-589-8840. By the way, that's 888-589-8840. These attacks on these drug boats, the left is all up in arms about this, that, you know, the president, maybe they struck this one boat twice, meaning that they struck it in order to kill the drug dealers who might not have been killed in the first strike, but were in fact in the water. And they're saying international law and the laws of war and all this require that they pick these people up. Well, yeah, we have not heard the administration say that the second strike was to kill them. If the boat was not sunk, I think the argument is that the second strike was meant to sink the boat because they want the boat destroyed. Here's the first thought that comes to mind in this discussion. Why is it that we never hear people on the left express outrage and concern when bad things happen to the American people as a result of illegal aliens, as a result of crime in the streets? Why, as a result of these, I mean, we're 100,000 people dying a year in our country from fentanyl. And why is it that we never hear the Democrats express any outrage at the horrible things, the rapes, the murders, the drunk driving accidents that have wiped out entire families? You never hear them express any outrage. I mean, the young people, who innocent young people, because look, folks, I mean, what are we going to do? Condemn a young person because they experiment with drugs? It's all around them. They shouldn't. We ought to certainly teach our children not to, particularly because today you taking your life into your hands. But a young person who's done that is not a criminal. They're not a murderer. That, I mean, that person could go on to live their lives and be highly productive. I don't know whether I've ever said this before, but look, before I got saved, I certainly experimented with drugs. Thank God. I never had any addiction. I never used heroin or cocaine, but I certainly experimented with drugs. I mean, thank God that I didn't get caught and that God delivered me out of all of that. I wasn't doing it because I was just, you know, looking to hurt people or even to hurt myself. I mean, kids just do dumb things. That's the bottom line. But for these drug dealers to be sending drugs over here let's make it personal. Your child, your grandchild ends up going to some party and some friend says, "Hey, try this. This is really great. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, it's not going to bother you." And, you know, suddenly, "Oh, okay, well, you know, you try. Yeah, I tried it." You got a dead kid on your hands because these drug dealers are sending these lethal substances into our country. I don't hear Democrats expressing outrage over that. Do you? But all of a sudden, they're violating international law. And, you know, it's the same thing with this guy, Abrego. He's a Maryland man is being mistreated. The guy is a human trafficker. And a gangbanger, and oh, they're so concerned. We're going to the prison in El Salvador to see him. We've got to see this man. Our compassion just rises up in us. So, but when some American, some young lady, is murdered by an illegal alien who's been allowed into our country and maybe been arrested several times and let go, and maybe the state government refuses to cooperate with ICE in his arrest, and he murders some young lady, Do you hear Democrats expressing any outrage about that? And that has happened thousands of times. And so, you know, this is my attitude. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. I want our government to operate within constitutional bounds, certainly. But I don't even want to hear these Democrats whining and moaning about these drug dealers and the possibility they could be farmers. Oh, please, give me a break. They could be fishermen in a high-speed boat on the open seas. Give me a break. That's not the kind of boat fishermen use. And obviously, I do not believe that this administration, I do not believe that Pete Hegseth or anybody in this administration is going to be playing fast and loose with this. They have intelligence. They know what these boats are really up to. And by the way, President Trump said, we've reduced the level of trafficking by sea by 91%. Well, I guess so. When you know you get in one of these boats, you're likely to be seen by a satellite, and the next thing you know, have a drone drop a bomb on you. So that'll put some hesitancy in your little drug trip on the high seas to bring drugs into America. And I'll tell you something, folks, and I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I don't hate people, but I have no sympathy for these drug dealers at all. They've been declared terrorist organizations because they're killing our people. And the president is acting to stop this killing of our people. And that's exactly what our government is supposed to be doing, as opposed to this lazy, laissez-faire nonsense that we saw in the Biden administration. As long as you're not hurting an illegal alien, you're good. If you're killing an American, that's okay. No, on some level, they deserve it. But oh my goodness, if you're mistreating an illegal alien, that's terrible. You wonder sometimes, what is wrong with these people? That's why I say they're a demonic cult, because they are so disconnected from reality and common sense that you and I watch their behavior and listen to their behavior. And it just doesn't make any sense. Well, it does when you think about the fact that all they're interested in doing is advancing the cause of the cult and taking power over the rest. Well, that's pretty good. That's right out of the Holy Ghost presses. Advancing the cause of the cult and taking control of the rest. That pretty much sums it up. So, you know, I trust that I just trust this president, and I trust Pete Hegseth and others who are involved in this to do their due diligence. I wholly support this strategy because I think that's what we've got to do. We've got to get aggressive with these cartels and these terrorist organizations that are killing our people, period. And that, to me, is a fundamental role of our government. And the left wants to make everything else a fundamental role other than protecting us. And they want criminals to roam the streets. I saw a story this morning about a guy who attacked this woman on her way to school. And I think she was on her way to school. And this guy had been arrested 16 times. Did 2 years in prison for sexual assault. And he's out. And he attacks this woman. Now, thank God she survived it. But she was speaking up saying, you know, we've got to put a stop to this craziness where the criminals' privileges and the criminals' comforts and the criminals' rights are more important than the right of the American people to live in safety. And again, the left always rallies to the criminal. They rally to the illegal alien. They rally to the drug dealer. But they don't rally to the American people. And it is my prayer that if indeed 45% of the people in the 7th District voted for this socialist, it is my prayer that there will be an awakening that is so widespread and so powerful in this country that we will never vote for one of these Marxist, socialist, communist people who really want to destroy everything this country represents. Because, folks, that's exactly what they want. Again, they couch it in, oh, we want to make things affordable. Give me a break. I mean, you know, we've seen this tried. Look at what it did to Venezuela. It turned Venezuela from a thriving, economically prosperous country into a basket case. I mean, what does it take for people to... again, to see reality, because the Democrat Party is in complete denial of reality. Now, look, my students have been asking me, what do we do? What do we do about the situation that we're in? We want to save this country. And, you know, we win some, but, you know, we lose some sometime too. And the culture really seems to continue to at least degenerate, or we're not seeing any. Well, I take that back. Look, we are seeing some signs of revival. We are seeing signs of young people moving more toward the Christian and conservative side. And these are good things. But, you know, you also see stuff like what's going on in Minneapolis. I had a couple visit my church Sunday before last from Minneapolis. And they told me Minneapolis is like, they said they feel like they're living in a Muslim country. So all over the city, you can hear the Muslim call to prayer everywhere. And it said that the guy who ran for mayor after Ilhan Omar's own wicked heart, the guy who ran for mayor, he came in second, the Muslim who ran for mayor, Somali Muslim who came ran for mayor, he came in second. And said if he runs again, he'll probably win. So you'll have a Muslim Islamist socialist as mayor of Minneapolis, and we've got a lieutenant governor in Virginia who is a Islamist, Muslims, socialist in Virginia. And we've got the mayor of New York, Zohran Mamdani, who is a Muslim, Islamist, socialist. I mean, what do we do? Well, I'll give you three things. Number one, we've got to continue to pray. And I think you all know that. That's probably the obvious. But I really think we've got to pray and believe God for miraculous intervention. And then secondly, we've got to prophetically proclaim the truth, no matter who it hurts, no matter what people say, no matter what they call us. And then thirdly, we've got to be fully engaged in politics and believe God for breakthroughs that are beyond political organization and the things we normally expect. This is E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Back in a moment.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Except to see E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Great to be with you. I want to take your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines. Now, when I say pray, I'm going to say something to you that you may find a little shocking. But, you know, I really do believe that it is appropriate to pray imprecatory prayers today. An imprecatory prayer is not a prayer for someone to die, or prayer for someone to get sick, or prayer for some terrible tragedy to befall someone. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that makes it impossible for these people to carry out their wicked intents. So I have three things in mind when I say that. Pray for confusion in their ranks. that they simply cannot get it together, that they find themselves at odds, they find themselves divided. You know, God did this for many armies that gathered themselves against Israel. And sometimes those armies turned on themselves. They turned on each other. Sometimes they ran because something spooked them, and it was really just the power of God just causing them to see things and hear things that weren't a real threat to them, at least not physically, but they thought they were. They would hear armies coming against them all that and just flee. In one case, the Syrian army did. Confusion in their ranks, bankruptcy in their finances, that in other words, they can't raise the money that they need to do the terrible things that they need to do. I'll tell you, I don't have a problem praying that financial disaster would befall George Soros and his whole scheme, that they would suffer financial disaster. Not because I want to hurt them personally, but I want to hurt their ability to finance the horrible things that they finance. I know you won't hear this said much, but I think this is an appropriate way for Christians to pray. These people are trying to destroy our country. I don't want them to have the resources to do it. And then pray for stupidity in their rhetoric, that they would expose themselves. See, because they lied to the American people. These people aren't, they don't care about affordability. They care about power. But, you know, they'll find some label, something. I mean, they keep trying things. Remember, they at one point they were saying, we've got to drop the F-bomb. You know, I mean, literally, they thought that using the profanity of the F-word was going to help them with the electorate. And $20 million, we got to study how to communicate with men. I mean, these people are, they are in la-la land. I pray that in spite of themselves, they would say what they really think. Because when they say what they really think, and the American people hear that, I guarantee you, the American people say, that's nuts. And I don't know what happened with Jay Jones, this guy here in Virginia who fantasized about killing Todd Gilbert and seeing his children die in his arms. I'll tell you what, I'm glad it came out. Now, again, a lot of people had already voted by the time that came out. That's part of the problem. So 888-589-8840 is the number. So we've got to pray. We have got to prophetically proclaim the truth of God's word and believe God for supernatural intervention. And then, of course, we've got to organize politically. We've got to turn Christians out. We've got to get Christians to understand this is, folks, this is really life or death. This is freedom or tyranny. I really believe that this is no joke. This is not business as usual. This is about whether the America that we know and love is going to continue, or we're going to end up with some sort of dystopian socialist country. Because they want to turn America into California and Massachusetts and Vermont and Illinois. And those are basket cases. 888-589-8840 is the number. All right, let's get to your calls. Let's see. We've got Lee in Virginia. I've been talking about Virginia a little bit, so let's go to Lee. Lee, welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Jackson. I used to listen to you every day and call you. I have great admiration for you.
Thank you, sir.
You are one of the few people that backs up what he thinks with words. I have quit watching the Super Bowl because of their nasty halftime show. It is not family friendly. They ought to be ashamed. I've quit watching professional basketball because you had this guy out in California, I can't think of his name, Worthington or something, who backed China over the people that was enslaved over there. You know, afraid that they wouldn't carry their ball games. And I live in Virginia. What's happened in Virginia is we have about six counties around Washington, D.C., about four of them's in Virginia, couples in West Virginia. They're the richest counties in the United States. They all work for the federal government, and they all vote Democrat. And the people out in we're outnumbered where I live, it's 90% conservative, but they's more.
I wonder. Thank you for the call, Lee. I wonder whether, Lee, what part of Virginia you actually live in, because you're right. In Northern Virginia, it is about, in some places, Alexandria, Arlington, Fairfax County. We're losing those cities by 8 and 9 to 1. So you're right about the numbers. But, you know, I believe this, too. There are a lot of Christian voters out there who don't vote. When I ran, I found that out. Pastors and youth leaders and Second Amendment enthusiasts and people who had every reason to vote and say, oh, I don't get involved in that. I said, what do you value the rights that you have? Because by not voting, you are putting those rights at risk because there are people who want to take them away from you. And if you allow those people to get in office, they will do whatever they can to take away the rights you treasure. So pray for Virginia, because that's what we're facing right now. I've got some plans, some things that we're planning to do, but if I have a chance, I'll get into that. Let's go to David, also in Virginia. Wow, we got the Virginia crowd coming in. David, you're on. Welcome.
Thank you. Raise him and praise him, for he is holy.
Amen.
I live probably about a half hour north of Richmond, and I don't want to get off the reason why I called. You had said a little bit ago, what's it going to take for these people to understand, or what's it going to take to get them to, you know, to do what is right? And I think one of the biggest problem, if not, you know, there's a lot of problems, but people don't have a relationship with Jesus. They don't know truth. They don't really understand what it is, what's going on, and they can't see it because they don't know truth. I mean, God,
David, when you look at- David, let me, because I got some other calls, but I'm going to get to this since you brought this up. What do you say then to the people who will tell you? They will tell you, I am a Christian, and I voted for Democrat. I know pastors who will say, I voted Democrat because they're committed to social justice and they're committed to racial justice. And what do you say to those people? Do you think that they are Christians, or do you think that they are pretenders?
I think that they love the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. I mean, you can still say that, you know, you love the Lord, but, you know, your actions will speak louder than your words, and when you look at the world through a biblical worldview, you're gonna change. You're gonna David, see through the lies.
Thank you for the call, David. I am of two minds on this. I think some of these people just aren't Christians, because look, you say they love the Lord, they don't know the Lord. I don't think you can love the Lord and not know him. And I think if you love the Lord, then your first loyalty is to him above all else, not to a political party, not to a race. Not your first loyalty is not even to your family as much as you love them. Your first loyalty is to the Lord. And then he is the one who gives you the courage and the strength and the determination to serve your family the way he would want you to. I think some of these people are pretenders. They're not Christians, but they say they are, and they're part of Christian culture, but they don't really know God, because I don't know how you can know Jesus and frankly stab him in the back, because that's exactly what they're doing by voting for people who are for everything God is against and who are against everything God is for. Thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Ann in Michigan. Ann, welcome.
Thank you. I've got so much to say about that. I'm a naturalized American, and I do say American, although I'm from England. But England's going down, and nobody's listening. Yeah. And people over here, they are so ignorant. They don't listen to the news, and I followed it. And we've got the king and the prime minister that's very much for the Muslims, and they're wiping out the other people. And I tell people here, this is what's happening. And last night, I was listening to a program where he said the Somalians. Well, if they call themselves Somalians, they're in the wrong place. dose. They need to ship them on the plane and send them back to where they want to be. And the same way with Dearborn, Michigan. If they want to be there, they need to go to a country, which is what they stand for. And that's really all I've got to say for it. But I do say, pray and vote. It's what I told my English friends, two of them. And they said, oh, what can we do? What can we do? Too docile.
Ann, thank you so much for the call. I couldn't agree with you more, Ann. I have some friends who are focused on trying to save Western civilization. And I said, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, what you're really talking about is saving America, because Western civilization, for all practical purposes, is gone. Except for America. It's gone. Europe has been taken over by secularists. It's been taken over by Muslims. I think Europe is done. I really do, folks. I think they're done. Unless there's an awakening in Europe and they get a hold of themselves and realize all this politically correct nonsense is just suicidal, and realize these Muslims coming into these countries are not coming in because they honor and want to preserve the culture and the tradition of these countries. They're coming in to supplant them. They're coming in to take over, and they're not using terrorism. They're using infiltration. And we as Americans, you're right, we better wake up to what is actually going on, or we may look up one day and find ourselves living under a caliphate. Let's go to Sherry in Oklahoma. Sherry, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Jackson. I love your imprecatory prayers, and I prayed right along with you. I have something I'm real concerned about, and I'm hoping by talking about it on the radio, lots of people will pray and call. I think our elected representatives, U.S. representatives, need to get to work and codify those executive orders. They need to. I think they do not need to, for any reason, extend those Obamacare premiums. There's nothing good about Obamacare. There's got to be a better way to meet their needs. Same thing that they're doing with the food stamp program. Make everyone verify that they're an American citizen truly in need of help, and then find a way to help them without. To me, that would be betraying all the people that suffered as a result of the shutdown. So really concerned about that. They should not back down. I think they'll lose the midterms if they don't get to work and help President Trump fulfill the mandate we gave him. They will lose the midterm.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for the call. And that is a solemn warning. And again, I think you are precisely on point. I think that what happened in Virginia is a canary in the coal mine. It's a warning to the entire country. I think that the fact that even though she did lose decisively, that this woman Bain losing in Tennessee, but still 45% of the vote. I mean, yeah, you are absolutely right. Republicans better get on the stick and better start getting these things that President Trump wants to do implemented and codified in law, so that the left can't come back later and undo it. Because this really needs to be a watershed moment. This time that we've got President Trump in office, it needs to be a watershed moment. In other words, a moment for which we turn the country, and there's no turning it back. We turn the country in the right direction, and there's no turning it back. Because if we don't, folks, I lived in a city in Virginia called Chesapeake. I don't live there anymore, but my church is there. For 25 years, Republicans were in complete control. 7 Republicans on the city council, 2 Democrats, and that was the case for 25 years. In this year, it got completely flipped. There are now 7 Democrats on the city council and 2 Republicans. I was shocked. I was shocked. So, look, just because President Trump is in office doesn't mean they're not on the move. So we better not take anything for granted. Remember, too, this is a spiritual battle. That's why prayer is so important, and imprecatory prayers matter. Because we've really got to pray confusion into the ranks of the enemy. And I say that spiritually, so that they can't carry out their nefarious intents for our country. God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.